We in Britain are creatures of comfort, with new research putting our holiday habits under the microscope. Adventure isn't a top priority, with almost half of us admitting that we prefer to holiday in a familiar area. Combining statutory minimum leave and public holidays, Brits receive less paid annual leave than other countries across Europe. 8 paydays less than Sweden, for example. Our holidays are precious to us, and new research to determine the UK's travel habits has found this certainly to be true. Joining me now to discuss our travel habits and the research results is broadcaster Laura Hamilton, best known for presenting Channel 4's A Place in the Sun. Hi, Laura.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. I'm quite envious of you because you tend to do lovely programmes in lovely, warm, sunny places.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you know, I'm not going to lie, I am very lucky. Although, believe it or not, I'm actually filming in the UK right now. And I've been filming the last couple of days in the rain.
Oh,
so
well.
I'm dreaming of sunny destinations myself.
So what do the results of the research tell us then about our travel habits in more detail?
So the research has shown that we are creatures of comfort. We do indeed like to go back to destinations that we've visited. In fact, almost half of us prefer to visit a destination that is familiar rather than experiencing somewhere new. And over half of us this year are returning to a destination that we have visited because we want to know that our holiday, our limited amount of holiday that we get, as you say, as a country compared to other countries, is going to be money well spent, and that we know it's fail safe, that, you know, it will be comfortable, decent facilities, but also that we go back to destinations for nostalgia. I have visited destinations, and I do visit destinations that I went to with my parents, and then I now take my young children back to, and Orlando is one of those destinations, one of my favorites.
A lot of those listening just now are visually impaired, Laura, and I think sometimes that feeds into this equation, because I know for myself I tend to get lost quite easily in places. So I think familiarity sometimes makes you feel a little safer when you go back to somewhere that you're familiar with.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if you're familiar with a place, whether you're visually impaired or not, I think everyone feels a little bit more comfortable. You know, it's nice to see the same people that are working in the same resorts, the same hotels. But just you know, talking about that further, visitorlando.com actually has some great information on accessibility. So, you know, for any of the listeners that are visually impaired that might be concerned about that, there's plenty of information there where they could find out more and be reassured.
Can you guarantee that, though, the accessibility angle? Because you hear some horror stories at times.
No, I mean, look, I've been there. I'm not visually impaired, but I've got young children, and that's also, you know, a concern when you're travelling with young children to these places where it can be busy, and, you know, you're concerned about getting around. And I've always found the people are amazingly helpful, friendly, and, you know, there's no language barrier, is there, in Orlando? Everyone knows. I just feel like as a destination, it's fail safe. Whether you want to go to the theme parks, if you're a thrill seeker, or you don't want to go to the theme parks, there's so much more on offer there. You know, shopping, dining. I've been microlighting there. I've been on monster truck safaris through citrus groves where the smells are amazing. The atmosphere is just fantastic. I love it. And whether you're a big kid or you're a little kid, there is something for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to paint a picture that blind and partially sighted people aren't adventurous, because I know some who you would say are generally mad. They love going off on a trail and doing something exciting. And the one that you're talking about there, you just mentioned going through the citrus groves, something like that can really be quite powerful for the senses, not visually necessarily, but for the sense of smell, etc.
Oh, yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, even going on the monster truck safari through the terrain as well, which is quite bumpy if you're you don't have to go on a roller coaster ride to get that kind of thrill experience. Being on a monster truck riding through that was pretty cool, not gonna lie.
Oh, I'd rather do a monster truck than you'll never get me on a roller coaster ever. I did it once and that was enough.
Do you know what, my cousin's actually visually impaired, and it's one of her favorite destinations to visit. I mean, she's seen Mickey and just like, you know, feeling the texture of those characters was a wonderful experience for her as well. So, you know, that's something to bear in mind.
Does it vary with the different age of parents then taking families abroad?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, there's definitely the research has shown that different age groups do choose to book their holidays, you know, in different ways for different reasons. So I fall in the millennial parenting bracket. So I'm 37, and that age group, sort of between 23, 38 years old, we look for inspiration from travel bloggers or Instagram. But I think that falls, you know, that's the case for many things. You know, I always now look to the social networks and online for inspiration for many things, and travel is for sure one of them. Whereas Gen X parents, who are slightly older, age bracket 30, 39, 53, we're less likely. They're less likely. Sorry, I'm aging myself there, saying we. they're less likely to be swayed by social media, and they will get recommendations from friends, and are less likely to look on the social platforms. And I mean, sort of gone are the days of the travel brochure, really, because everything's online. And that's the great thing here. Like, all of the information is online for you. So there's no need to pick up a travel brochure.
And taking that example that you just mentioned there, even mentioning Orlando and that area, there's something there for everyone, isn't there?
100%. And like I say, if you don't want to go to the theme parks, then there are plenty of other things that you can see and do. But if you have been there previously and you're thinking, oh, I've done it, I've visited, I don't need to go back, actually there are plenty of reasons why you should go back, because there's so many new things on offer this year. So, you know, if you are a thrill seeker and you want to go to the parks, there's loads of new rides. There's a new 75 acre safari park that's opening. If you've got, you know, that you want to experience that animal adventure. I've been microlighting, as I've said. So there's lots to do, lots to see. And if you've got, you know, fussy eaters, well, there's plenty of food choices available there where portions are plentiful.
Oh, yes. I was just thinking that.
If you're on a diet, then actually, do you know what? If you're on a diet, you can still get some very, very good food there.
You can't go on a diet on holiday. Come on. The one thing, though, I was going to say is, no matter what your physical challenge is, if you've got a disability, you should be upfront with that when you're booking, shouldn't you? Just to get clear on that so you know what you need.
Yeah, I would say if you are booking a holiday and you have those concerns, then just, if you're speaking to someone, then make sure that you check with them that, you know, it's going to be okay for you. But as I said, looking online does have all the information there on accessibility. And so the information's there for you to see for yourself.
Okay, so what's that web address?
It's visitorlando.com.
Lorna Hamilton, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.